As Bible passages go, these words from Jesus in Luke are a bit of a yawn. I mean, really, what does it sum to? Don't think too much of yourself. Don't belly up to the most important place in the room or put on airs. Take the lowest place and so that you can be honored by being asked to move up. I mean, it's hard to imagine that anybody would ever get crucified for saying to people, be humble. I mean, it seems like pretty good advice, pretty solid advice on how to get along with people and not be thought of as an arrogant person. But the yawn about these words is just what they seem to say on the surface. I think there's something more going on here than what meets the eye. I think Jesus is actually trying to incite a sort of social revolution, you might say. See, etiquette in the ancient world, where you sat at dinner parties, was not simply a matter of politeness. It was a matter of order, social order, and honor and shame. It was around meals, where people could keep track of who was in and who was out and how much people mattered and why they mattered and how. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around because we have such different ways of doing that. But when Jesus tells his people to sit at the lowest place, he's basically telling them to disregard the system by which they can figure out who they are and where they belong. To stick it to the man, you might say, by refusing to play by the rules. An analogy might be if he told our children, our students, okay, so go to school, do your work, but then tell the teacher you'll take the F. I mean, if everyone did that, if everyone just went to school and behaved as though the rewards for being in school and doing your schoolwork didn't matter whatsoever, the system would lose its power to compel people to study. The system by which we evaluate students would have no meaning. The entire way we think of who's good at school and not good at school, like the dean's list and honor rolls and that kind of thing, would completely fall apart because it just wouldn't tell us very much. No one would be participating in it. How could you have an honor system around tables if everyone is just crowding to take the lowest place rather than the higher one? So what Jesus is doing in these words is inviting his followers to behave in ways that undermine the status quo so much that normal human ways of measuring and evaluating and counting and in general keeping order in our often crazy lives ends. All of them end. And that right there is a threatening word. Because while we do not think the way the ancients did about food and tables and dinner parties, our world is topsy-turvy enough, and we humans are insecure enough that we crave structures of order so that we know who we are and where we stand and who others are and where others stand. Our world works on those structures. So say, for example, an organization needs a new employee. An advertisement is made, and the resume has come pouring in, and the supervisor reviews the resumes, and the supervisor has both conscious and unconscious standards for sorting all those resumes out, experience and work history and computer skills, and the ability to spell and what the resume looks like. All those things determine who gets an interview and who does not. For you have to have standards, and if you don't have standards, you can't make decisions, and if you can't make decisions, the world would come to a grinding halt. A sloppy and disorderly mess is what we'd be left with. Preacher David Lowe says, we all want to know where we stand and how we're doing and how we measure up. And given how small we feel, and for goodness sake, we really are in this vast cosmos of which we are a part, more often than not, we seek that sense of order by comparing ourselves to others. Until the minute that Jesus comes, stops by our house for a dinner party, and invites us to throw out the whole scheme invites us to take the lowest place, to sit on the margin, and to live as though the pecking orders don't even exist. And in some ways, that sounds like good news, but here's the rub. It changes everything. If you can't measure your own worth somehow on any human standard, if you can't say, hey, I'm worthy because I was in the service, or hey, I'm worthy because I have developed an incredible personal style, or because I nurtured a good family life, or because I passed the tryout and the audition, and it was accepted, hired after the interview, what can you claim? The only thing that you can rely on is the grace and love of God to tell you who you are. We can't do anything in the world to establish ourselves except trust God's desire to be in a relationship with us. We can't claim anything for ourselves. We can only trust that God claims us. And God does. God does claim us. God so wants us to have a place at his table that he sends Jesus to pour out love and forgiveness, gives us the gift of his life and his death and his resurrection, which is priceless. There is no status that we could ever have. There is no amount of wealth that we could ever obtain that would ever buy that gift. It is beyond measure, this love that Jesus offers. An old hymn, it's freely given and yet it's better than anything. An old hymn puts it this way, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. I pray thee ne'er from me depart. Earth has no pleasure I would share. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare if thou, Lord, were not near me. Because he and his presence and his love alone with us, he's what makes us worthy. He is what makes every single place at the table a worthy place. And look, here today the Lord is near. Here today he is planting a feast in our midst, his supper, bread and wine, body and blood, the feast that follows the pattern he lifts up in this passage for his disciples. For here, around this altar, the exalted in the world find themselves humbled, and the humbled will be exalted. Those who believe that they are something, that they have something, find instead that the greatest treasure in the world is not something that they can bring or buy, but something that they can receive. The promise of love and forgiveness, a scrap of bread and a sip of wine. Oh, to be reduced to this. This is what humbles the exalted. And yet here, the humbled are also exalted. For those who know their deep need, for those who have been tossed around by the world's ways of counting and measuring and judging, those who know that however much we may cling to our schemes of order, the world's pecking orders do not bring life, but bring only death-dealing fear and anxiety and endless questioning of self-worth and sorrow. Those who know that come to this table, and God lifts them up. For here Jesus meets us at the very point of our humility, a scrap of bread, and a sip of wine, and the fullness of his body and blood, his love and forgiveness. Not Michelin five-star cuisine, but food that's meant for the least of these, who have nothing of themselves to offer, who cannot repay, but who can only receive. And by these who receive, I mean you and me. Amen.